Our opening hymn this morning, O God of Mercy, God of Light. Special welcome to all those who are listening on the broadcast at 100.1 FM and also through the shoutcast through our website at stpaulykt.org. Please notice all the announcements in the bulletins. They are printed on the last pages of those bulletins, and bulletins can be found in numerous places, including our website at stpaulykt.org. Few new things. One is we have gone ahead and closed the office once again for visitors. If you do need a face-to-face visit, please give us a call. If you need to see Katie or myself or Nick, please give us a call and we will be welcome to meet with you. We do have the drop box for offering or any other kind of things that you need correspondence with the office, and you're always welcome to call. And our numbers are on the answering machine as well. Did want to mention that church council meeting is canceled this month. There were going to be a number of people who were not going to be able to be here for our council meeting, and we do not have any pressing business that cannot wait until next month. Couple of notes on worship this morning on Holy Communion. When you receive Holy Communion, when you receive the wafer, I do ask that you hold out your hands, and I will drop the wafer in your hands. And this is actually the proper way to receive Holy Communion. If you hold your hands in this way with one hand under the other, a couple of things that signifies. One is that you are receiving the body of Christ, and it is important. It is significant. It is precious. And so we kind of cradle it in our hands. The other thing is when you hold your hands like that, it kind of makes a cross as well then too, reminding us of how the Holy Communion, this meal, is tied to the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This morning too, with the wine, we are going to try something a little bit different as well. The trays have been filled with every other cup in the tray, and so this morning we ask that you go ahead and pull your cup. The usher will not hand the cup to you. Just go ahead and take your cup out of the tray. Also, we are only going to have one station for Holy Communion this morning, and we will be serving this side first, here on the piano side, and then the pulpit side next, and then the annex after that. Okay. Does anybody else have announcements or questions or anything else that would concern this assembly? If not, then we continue with the greeting and the dialogue. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You are the treasured people of the Lord. Keep the words of the Lord in your heart. Teach them to your children. One does not live by bread alone. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, to forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, "We Plow the Fields and Scatter." Thank you.
chapter 55, I begin reading at verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord. We'll now read Psalm 65 in unison. You are to be praised, O God in Zion. To you shall vows be performed in Jerusalem. To you that hear prayer shall all flesh come because of their transgressions. Our sins are stronger than we are, but you will blot them out. Happy are they whom you choose and draw to your courts to dwell there. They will be satisfied by the beauty of your house, by the holiness of your temple. Awesome things will show us in your righteousness, O God, of our salvation. O hope of all the ends of the earth and of the seas that are far away. You make fast the mountains by your power. They are girded about with might. You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and the clamor of the peoples. Those who dwell at the ends of the earth will tremble at your marvelous signs. You make the dawn and the dusk to sing for joy. You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth. You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rain you soften the ground and bless its increase. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy. May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing. The second lesson is a reading from Romans chapter 8. I begin reading at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and Nick has the children's sermon this morning.
Good morning. St. Paul Lutheran, good morning, children. Children, I'm going to tell you something that me and you have in common. Is when I was little, probably around your age, around 13 or 14, my parents, like your parents, always told me, clean your room. They would wake up extra early on Saturday, my Saturday, from my day off of school, and say, clean your room. And by 13 and 14, I developed a nice system to clean my room really fast. So what I would do is take all my shirts, fold them, throw them in the closet. I would take my jeans, because my dad cared for my jeans not being, he wanted a nice crease like I have right now. He didn't want any wrinkles. So I fold those up properly, put them on a hanger, and those would get hung up. Socks and underwear, thrown away. My toys, my mom said, if I ever step on your toys, I'm throwing it away. She said, if I see it on the floor, I'm throwing it away. She said, if I see it outside in the living room, I'm throwing it away. So I made sure all my toys were in my room, stacked on the shelves. And there was two types of toys. Toys that I played with, and they'd go in a nice bucket, and toys that I wanted to show off to my cousins or any friends that came over. So they go on the shelf, and you can't touch those. And not only did my mom have that rule with the toys, but she had it with my video games. If I see a controller, throwing it away. Better not be on the floor, better put it in its proper place. And if I see any of your video games mixed up, I'm going to throw them away. And I was like, Mom, these are $50 video games. You bought them for $50. You're just going to throw away money like that? Yes. Yes, she was. She did not care. So all my video games would be lined up with the control at the end. So it would be a nice bookend. And then my PlayStation or my Nintendo 64 would be in its proper spot. Easy. And the remote to the TV would always be on the TV. Easy. Easiest way to clean up ever. The only problem is my dad would sometimes actually get really nosy and go into my closet and look in and say, that's not clean. And then he'd go underneath my bed and say, you have all these toys underneath here. You know how your mom is? You better fix that. And then he would take his finger, go into the back of my shelf, and he'd see all this dust. And he says, you need to clean that. You know how your mom is. Don't make me come talk to you. And he'd leave my room. Now the reason I tell you that is because there are some stuff that I clearly cared about, like my video games. They were in nice order, and my toys. And there was some stuff I didn't really care about. Like my shirts. They're just shirts. They get dirty. Sure, you can wash them. What's the point? They're going to get dirty. I'm going to wear them. So, just throw them in the closet. That was my thought process as a kid. As an adult, and I have my own house, I've realized I have to clean everything, and everything has to be in its proper space, because I don't want my friend Kathy coming over, coming into my house, and saying, "Ugh, you live like this? Oh no. Oh no, I can't be here. I'm gonna go, Nick. You just call me when all this is taken care of." It's embarrassing, kids. It's embarrassing. So clean your rooms when your parents tell you to clean your rooms. Make sure everything is in its proper place, and don't do what I do and just throw clothes around or throw the things that you don't care around. Now, I tell you that story because in the gospel message that Pastor Tim just read, we have a gardener who's going out with a bunch of seeds, and he's going out to his garden. He's on a little journey to his garden, and he's carrying a bag of seeds. Now, the bag of seeds must have a hole in them because the Bible says that some fell on the pathway. He didn't care. And the gardener opened up his bag. He takes a bunch of seeds and just throws them and scatters them. And if anybody who's ever planted anything knows that is not the proper way to plant stuff. I don't know how to plant stuff, but what I do know is you dig a nice little trench, and then you take your seeds and you plant everything one by one in a nice row in a nice line. What you would not do is scatter things. And you don't want to scatter things because you want the soil to get on the seed, or you want the seed to go in the soil, and you want the water to come down, and you want that seed to blossom into whatever it is you're growing. You would not go ahead and just throw things around like I do with my clothes. You wouldn't do that. So why would you do that? The disciples had the same question. "Jesus, Master, tell us what the parable means. What are you saying? Talk to us." And Jesus says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches that away which is sown from his heart. That is the seed on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one that hears the word of God, praises God, thanks God, and yet when hard times come, they say, 'Who's God? I don't know him. Do you know him?' And then there are others who are planted properly in the soil. They get nice water, and they praise God and thank God. And when the hard times come, they say, 'Thank God for these hard times, because I know someone, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, have my back. They are here to protect me.'" And this is the power of the Holy Spirit. As you remember, after Jesus died, Jesus said, "I'm going to send with you a helper. That is the Holy Spirit. You will receive him." And he did. And this is the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are a seed and you have fallen on the path, or if you are a seed and you have fallen in a rocky area where you're not supposed to bloom, the power of the Holy Spirit is that you can be replanted, come over here towards the nice soil that is faith, come to a nice church like St. Paul, meet amazing people as a congregation, go to Sunday school, learn about God, and you can be shined with the Holy Spirit, showered with the Holy Spirit, and you will grow and blossom into a beautiful young Christian woman and or man. And of course, as with Jesus, eventually it will be your turn. So Jesus is pouring his Holy Spirit into you, and the reason for that is because one day you're going to grow up, and you may have a job like Pastor Tim, you may have a job like me, or you may have a job like Kathy, or Miss Peyton, or the Gomerts, and you're going to say to yourself, "It's time to help. It's time to give back." And that is your purpose. And that is the point of the seeds. So thank you, children, so much for joining us. Thank you so much for everybody who's hearing us. I appreciate seeing you. God bless, and you have a good week.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A man went to the doctor for his annual physical, and as the doctor was examining him and going through the test, there was a kind of a scowl on the doctor's face, kind of frown lines, and the patient was asking, "Doctor, what is it?" And the doctor got through with the examination. He says, "Well, It's nothing that's going to require surgery and nothing that's going to really change your medication. But I am going to tell you, no more smoking, no more drinking. I don't want you doing anything that will overexert you. And on top of that, then, I want to put you on a strict diet. And the man says, will this help me to live longer? And the doctor told him, well, I really can't guarantee that, but it will seem longer. We come to worship on Sunday mornings or on Saturday evenings, or we listen to give thanks and praise to God for the many blessings that we do have. But we also come to church to pray for healing. We come to pray for healing for any kind of physical ailments that we may have or that our family may have, our neighbors may have. We pray for healing for this world that always seems to be torn apart somewheres in the midst of war and conflict. We pray for our nation as it seems to be torn apart with politics and also with the racial strife that's going on. We pray for healing from this pandemic that has enveloped the world. But as we come to worship, we also pray for healing in another way, and probably even more so of why we even pray for healing. We come to pray for healing from our sin. As we begin each worship service, we go through a confession. This morning we said in our confession, I have sinned by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. We know that we are sinners. That's all there is to it. On other Sunday mornings, we say we are in bondage to sin. We are bound to that sin. As long as we are living on this earth, we are sinful creatures. From that very first time of the first fall, when we no longer were able to live in paradise, we have been living in sin. Each and every day, we commit sins. And so it's important that we do come together. And each week then, we confess our sins. We admit that we are sinners and that we are in need of God's help. We are in need of healing. Christ has done amazing things for us. Here in our second lesson today, Paul says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Sin leads to death. When we no longer lived in paradise, one of the consequences was that we do die. Sin leads to death. But thanks be to God, God sent his Son into the world to free us from the bondage of sin so that we may be truly free. God sent his Son into the world to take on human flesh, our sinful human flesh, but Christ was not sinful. But yet Christ took the punishment for us. He is the one who suffered the death for us. He died on that cross. He took all of our sins, all of our shame, all of our guilt, all of our troubles. And he died on that cross, and he rose again to new life, bringing us also into that new life. Now, that new life is not only for after when we die physically on this earth. It makes a difference of how we live on this earth. It makes a difference in how we see our lives and how we conduct ourselves. And it makes a difference in our attitude towards the life that we live. Look at that gospel lesson that we read today, the parable that Jesus told that Matthew recorded about the sower and the seed. The sower goes out and he scatters the seeds. And the seeds of faith fall in different places. They fall on the path. And on the path, for someone who they may hear that word of Christ, they have heard that story of the resurrection and the cross and the resurrection. But it makes no difference to them. They don't care about it. It doesn't sink in. And the seeds just go to waste. Birds pick them up. They get scattered by the wind. For individuals then too, it just makes no difference. It doesn't sink in. It does no good. or for that seed that falls on the rocky places. People receive it with joy. This is a wonderful story. They see the wonderful things that God has done through scriptures. They can see it in other people. But as soon as adversity comes around, as soon as trouble comes around, and trouble does hit Christians. Sometimes I think trouble hits Christians even harder than it hits other people. We are not immune to disease. We are not immune to other people hurting us. We still live in this world where we too commit sin. But when adversity comes, if we have no depth within our faith, if those seeds of faith planted within us do not grab hold, if they do not get deeper, and they get deeper through prayer, through study, through worship, through conversation with other Christians, if we have no depth, that faith will just shrivel up. When adversity comes, we say, what good is this faith? It didn't save me from anything. Some of the seeds fell among thistles or thorns or weeds, and they grew well. They started to grow well. But the thorns and the thistles and the weeds started to grow too, and chokes that plant out. For us as well, a lot of times we have good intentions. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But then we get so distracted with so many different things, with family, with work, with friends, with play, with entertainment, with the need for more money or more property or more power. And we get distracted from who we are created to be that plant, to be that child of God who bears good fruit. And we never bear good fruit. We are too distracted by everything else that's going on in the world. And then that seed does fall on good ground, and it takes root, and it grows, and it grows, and it matures, and it bears the good fruit. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. This is who God has created us to be from the very beginning, is to be His children, to do His will, to serve God and to serve one another, to bear that good fruit. And it makes a difference of Christians who have that deep faith, because with that deep faith, we become what God intends us to be by that leading of the Holy Spirit that God has poured into us. We are fed, we are nurtured by that Spirit so that we grow and that we produce, because this is who God has created us to be. We have a different attitude toward life, even when adversity comes, even when trouble comes, even when we see the mess that the world is in from time to time. We have a different attitude, a different way of looking at things. For instance, one of the things that all of us do is work of some sort. Whether you're a student going to school, or take a farmer, farmer or rancher, for example, then. How do they view their work? Is it just a way to make money? Is it a way just to be away from everybody else? No, most farmers and ranchers love their work. And they provide for other people. They provide food so that people like me can eat. They provide products that are made into clothing. They provide wonderful things for all the other people. And they get paid for it. Or a plumber, or an electrician. Think about a plumber. You work just to make money? Just to make a paycheck? No. You do it to serve other people so that they can have running water in their homes, so they don't have to take a bucket down to the creek every morning and pull a dirty bucket of water and drag it back up to the house and use that. They are serving other people. Think about teachers, about instilling wisdom into their students, anywhere from pre-K all the way up to PhD candidates. The instructors, the teachers, they're teaching knowledge, they're teaching wisdom, they're teaching that love of exploring new things. Or think about an inventor. How do they look at life? Is it just because they're going to make a lot of money with a great invention? No, they love it. It's within who they are to be creative, to to think about things and to make things work and to help other people save time or to provide services for other people. Every profession has a way of serving God and of serving other people. That is our vocation. That is who we are. That is who God created us to be. As Christians, God has created us not to just be blown away by the wind or to have the joy and have that fizzle out and shrivel up or to be distracted by everything else going on. But God has called us to take root, to grow, to mature, and to bear the good fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, to serve God with joy and to serve one another with pleasure. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, O Jesus, Joy of Loving Hearts. Continue with the confession of faith. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. All gracious Lord, as we come this day to worship you, help us to be mindful of all the gifts you bestow upon us, and keep before us the words of Jesus, directing us to use those gifts, not just for our own use, but in service, with mercy to others. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, your word has been sown in many ways and places. We pray for missionaries and newly planted congregations around the world. Inspire us by their witness to the faith we share. Lord, in your mercy. Abiding God, care for all who are in need. For those who are doubting, renew faith. For those who are worrying, provide them release. For those who are struggling, ease their burdens. For those in fear, give hope. For those fighting illness or nursing injuries, bring them healing. And for those who are grieving, bring them peace. We pray especially for Thomas Smiley and for Dr. Daniel Doogie. Lord, in your mercy. Renewing God, revive your church in this place. Nourish and nurture the seed you have planted, that we might grow as disciples. Replace what has been depleted. Sustain our ministries and deepen relationships with the wider community. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal God, we give you thanks for all who have died in faith in you. Comfort us in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. Thank you. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in your divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, all is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is "In Christ There Is No East or West." As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.